Hey, my name is Kirsty Rayner, and I am obsessed with all things mindset, meditation, business, and helping you to overcome those mindset blocks and magical breakthroughs in every season of life. I'm a multiple business owner, accredited transformational and mindset coach, Vedic meditation teacher, a yogi with 10 years marketing experience on paper, but informally, I'm obsessed with growth, a pale rosé wine lover, chocoholic, and your new bestie. We get into all the secrets and hacks to get you in an abundant mindset. So go and grab a coffee, get cozy, get comfortable. This is the Mindset and Me podcast. Welcome back to the Mindset and Me podcast. You are all going to know my guest this week. She is incredible. If I mention her name, you'll know it immediately. Our Lucy Sheridan, she is known as the world's first and only comparison coach. She is an author of the most incredible book called The Comparison Cure, and is also now a founder of a membership, a monthly membership, which I am actually part of, called The Comparison Club. She is so much more than that. She is an intuitive, incredible human being. And welcome to the podcast, my dear friend Lucy. How are you?
I am great. And thank you so much for having me. I've got a cup of coffee and I'm ready to chat.
What a great way. We're recording on a Monday morning. We've already been chatting for so long. We were like, we've got to get
I'm
to
exhausted.
It. Have we not done it already?
Love it.
So for anyone who's not come across you, I'd just love you to give a little bit of an introduction to yourself and how you got to where you are today.
Well, I'd be delighted to. So, yeah, well, you've said, I suppose, that the main thing, which is around my specialism in comparison coaching.
Yes.
So all of my work, and I've been going for about 8-ish years now, but all of my work is absolutely focused on helping people stop comparing themselves to other people, stop comparing themselves to a perfect version of themselves, or stop comparing themselves to their past self. So it's kind of like a bit of a triangle or triumvirate, I think is the posh word for it, that the work kind of addresses there. In terms of what led me to this, it's definitely been a case of study what I need to know. Comparison has been something I have experienced a lot in my life. And I can remember from an early age, actually, having a bit of more of a critical view about, like, if my colouring in was as good as other toddlers, or my body was developing in puberty, like by, you know, the people I saw around me, or how I was doing in my grades, how I was doing in work, relationships, etc. And it always been scanning, I suppose, other people and ranking myself against others. Where it got particularly acute was in my late 20s. And I attended a school reunion. Now, the school reunion itself was a lovely day. It was nothing like those kind of American films where it all goes wrong and there's mean girls and blah, blah. It was nothing like that. It was a really lovely, fun day. It was the day after when I kind of went to my, it was all about Facebook then. So the dark ages, but it was all about Facebook then, FaceTV. Instagram was just really a twinkle in our eye getting started. But I'd accepted and sent a lot of new friend requests to, obviously, like, my school cohort. So my Facebook feed looked very, very different indeed from then on. And it was from there that, having managed my comparison to a point, a bit through denial, a bit through being a bit overly nosy, I suppose, on a good day. Excuse me. It was after that point that I woke up in this, like, Las Vegas of comparison. And it was all, you know, my comparison habit was always on. There was always something to gorge on, to visit, to be alerted to. And overnight, it got to a depth and took hold of me in a way which probably lasted maybe 1 or 2 years, actually. And sparked on by what I could see my old school friends doing, and, you know, taking a very much over the top, way disproportionate interest in all of their lives, but also was reinforced by what I was seeing around me and the other circles that I kind of moved in as well. So, having really spiraled down for about 18 months or so, perhaps a little bit longer, it came to a point, I remember it really well, actually. It's sometimes funny, you have these wake up moments in your life. And I must say, I think I can count the times I've had these wake up moments on one hand, and I'm, you know, 38 now. I do remember in that moment thinking, this has to stop, just staring at my phone. I think I was fully dressed under the duvet. It was a lovely Saturday morning. And I was just looking at all these feeds and feeling absolutely rubbish. And I heard this voice, really, it was almost auditory, saying, this has to stop. like, stop it. Mm. And from that moment, as simple as it sounds, but as complex as it has been, I realized, or posed myself the question, I suppose, if I could think and feel myself into this, can I think and feel myself out of it? I was working in the advertising industry at the time. And mm-hmm. so the first port of call for me was just Waterstones, which is a bookshop in the UK. Yeah. So the first port of call was a bookshop. Then I would look on YouTube for motivational videos. And this was, you know, 8 years ago, may as well have been 40 years ago. The wellbeing industry in the UK not there, basically. And as you might pick up from my big vowels, I'm from Leeds. And it was at the time very, very London-centric and very fragmented. And that I kind of felt like I was really struggling for information, but kind of kept up the hunt for the info. And how, you know, that kind of developed was books and videos, and turned to attending short hour-long workshops, or perhaps a seminar, then perhaps going to London for a longer event. And then, you know, took me to Google to try and go further in my understanding, and started looking at trainings and qualifications. And I never had the intention necessarily to be self-employed ever. I will say this to people a fair bit. Part of me wants to kind of, it sounds a bit disparaging to say, oh, no one's more surprised than I am that I'm doing this. I'm not now, because I feel like I'm really in my purpose. But yes. I would never have described myself as an entrepreneur ever, ever. I believe that each of us has a match flame available to us of entrepreneurial spirit. And if you choose to look after that, it can become a big roaring fire. But I was in corporate life. That's where I thought all my time and my career was going to be. But I kept on getting these nudges, which I know now were intuitive kind of cues, as like, right, do this, do that, follow this next, look into this. Oh, wouldn't it be interesting if I found like new thought processes kind of coming in about what my future could be? And it was a process of following those very tentatively. I never, you know, the day came when I realized I needed to leave my job. I never knew I was leaving that career. It's just a few things had happened in that workplace. I thought, I'm not sticking around from here. But that's been sort of the journey to today, in terms of following the next step, then the next step, then the next step, and giving myself the confidence to feel into what could be possible, and acting on that information. So I wasn't that person that resigned and then went full time. It took me a few years to be full time in my business, but it was a real process of discovery.
Wow, thank you so much for that answer. I honestly, I really, really like feel it and resonate with you, because sometimes it's this whole label of being self-employed and what you thought you were, and also what you thought a CEO, an entrepreneur looked like. I would never put myself in that category. Now I kind of feel like you feel the same, or maybe totally. You did, maybe not so much now. But it's like, I wear like a dress and just like do yoga, and now I'm like in charge of all of this stuff. And it's crazy, isn't it, how the mindset can make us think differently.
Especially if you don't have the experience. Like a number of people that I have chosen to learn from, or I follow online, you know, they're part of their brilliant story to today is I started selling lemonade in like my dad's garage, or I was selling this, you know, probiotic or something on the side of working in hairdressers, whatever it was. All respect and only respect to that. It just was never my journey. I worked in TK Maxx for a bit, then I was on Chinaware at Habitat. I just had conventional jobs and then went down kind of a semi sort of conventional route. So never had the opportunity to know that was even part of what could drive me, unlike a lot of the people that I follow, and I think that adds to their legacy and their credibility, etc. But there aren't many people that talk about this. Is quite new to me, actually, relatively speaking. You know, I can kind of chart my entrepreneurial journey back to being about 30-ish, because push came to shove and I didn't have a choice. And you know, your landlord doesn't care if you're fulfilled or not, do they? They just want the rent. It's amazing. Absolutely. What you can do.
Absolutely. So talk to me about, I'm really, really interested in the piece. Now, obviously, what he was kind of triggering you, obviously, back then when you were, you know, younger, and I guess we kind of reflect back on it, don't we? Yeah. We don't have the mindset that we have now and like the inner confidence. But when you were in that moment, if for anyone listening, they feel like that's where they are right now.
Yeah.
Fast forward to today, where it's not just Facebook, there's so many channels and so much comparison everywhere. How are you finding the difference? And, you know, in terms of like guiding people and want, like, what would you say now is the change
that I felt?
Yes.
I think something that's been, I say, a surprise to me, actually reassuring to me, is that you can always go back to basics. So I will find that, just like every other individual, I will have certain patterns in my life that will repeat, even when I think I have, I'm using air bunnies here, as in like quote marks, I have fixed them, healed them, worked on them, developed them, evolved through them, etc. And they will come around again. So Kirsty, and I've spoken about this online, so it's not a big secret, but there's a really good chance for this and you won't know, but in July of this year, I had what I can see now, what was a bit of a breakdown. When I was going through it, I thought I was annoyed about a couple of things, or this person was annoying me, or whatever. It was very much happening outside, like pointing to. And I was tired, and it's been panny day, and all of it accumulated. And I found myself in a really unstable emotional state. And I can see now, I can see it now for what it was. And I'm not in a place of gratitude and feeling philosophical, but I can certainly be measured in understanding what it was. You know, I'm, like I say, I'm not in a place where I'm like, oh, that gave me so much. I'm like, that was horrible. Still acknowledge it was horrible. I'm saying it won't feel horrible, but it does at the moment. But what led me out of that were the things that I started out with. So things like, and forgive me if this makes your eyes roll, fair enough, I'll take the risk, but things like a gratitude journaling practice, things like going back to the spiritual texts, of which there are probably a few that really continue to speak to me, like listening to things on Spotify to put me almost in this bubble or cocoon of regeneration and restoration, because please excuse me, I'm morphing this coffee, and when we are feeling depleted and when we aren't feeling ourselves and we are feeling emotionally unstable, what we need to do, in my opinion, is go back to like what makes us feel safe and secure and robust, and build up on those things, and it's from there anything else can come. So something I've learned is that my basics or my essentials are still my basics and my essentials, even though I've been on retreats, even though I've tried this, you know, plant medicine, or I've tried this form of meditation, or I know this teacher now, my basics and essentials will stay as they are. And I will go back to those time and time again. They'll still serve me, which I think is why it's so important that we each have, even if it's not a daily routine, we each have a little toolkit or small collection of things that we know look after our spirit. Because that's how I kind of, in July, how I felt was, you know, there's that that film, The Wizard of Oz, and there's a really scary bit towards the end where the witch sends out her flying monkeys. It still gives me the shivers. I think that's taken over, that's like carried over from childhood, but that's what I felt like. I felt like there were these flying things around me that I just couldn't get rid of. So it was like, whatever makes us come back and feel okay and feel safe in the moment, I think it always gets my attention no matter what. And what I'm trying to get better at as well is sticking with those tools when times are good, rather than when I have to kind of hit the emergency button on them, basically.
Making them habitual, almost. I get that totally. To be like really, really specific, and like I'm like super granular, you mentioned the spiritual text. What spiritual text do you resort back to? Because I'm just really fascinated.
Oh, of course. Well, there's a book called Wishes Fulfilled by Dr. Wayne Dyer. Sadly, he's not with us anymore. There are a couple of extras as well. And actually, I think I've got them from like an anthology somewhere. So forgive me. I'm actually, if you can see me, I'm looking around my desk going, where is it? One of my faves is by Ian Levan Zant as well. She has an amazing compendium, which I've had in various forms in my life and always given it away to someone. And then there's the work of, and it's not for everyone, but there's the a work of a brilliant author called Genevieve Davis. And Genevieve has a book on, I suppose you'd call it in plain language, manifesting. But, and I know that's not for everyone. I know that's a divisive topic, which could, you know, have its own podcast series on its own, let alone a section of one episode. So I'm not going to go there right now. But those books around kind of becoming magic and advanced magic that, like I say, sound like a guide to manifesting, and they are, but are also a guide to connecting back with your spirit and your desires and seeing possibility. And seeing possibility. Yeah. And I think that's really, really kind of key when we are feeling in our darker days, when we, to not try and like three step our way out of it, even if there might be three steps, but actually to allow ourselves to go there and feel and then come through from that point so that we don't accumulate a lot of unfiltered, unsorted stuff, basically. So it's going back to those things. And also I would say, I know we'll talk about morning practice and such, but things like tarot and oracle cards as well, I have found, you know, to have that quiet moment with myself in the morning to draw a card. And when I'm shuffling those cards, asking cards a simple question, which is, what is the most important guidance for me today? And looking at the, looking at what comes back, whether it's, you know, be careful or use your words well or get ready for surprises or whatever it is, just using that, almost like plugging that into the GPS of my day, not so it dictates all my thoughts and actions, but so that I can have, just be really open, just be really, really open. I don't miss something.
I love that so much. I love how spiritual you are. And I do think as well, perhaps in our introduction, it may not have even seen that, but like you're, because I first met you, oh my goodness, this was years ago.
Yeah, what
was
your event back in the day, again, Lucy? Hiya Selfie.
Hiya Selfie. That was it. This is like, what, 7 years ago? Is it maybe?
I think it's about six-ish, yeah, but not far off that. Yeah, maybe five, six-ish, but significant. Yeah, significant
and
way
you
away.
Lucy like created this amazing, amazing event, which you partnered with Lululemon. You had like these incredible talks. Rebecca Campbell was there, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, like all of these amazing. And like you say, like that part of the scene in London, that was very, very new, wasn't it?
Very,
and
very
it was
new.
Out there and I loved it. Yeah.
That was with my really good friend, Jo Westwood, who we're still really good pals with. I'm still really good pals with today. Spirituality or being spiritual, I don't struggle to talk about it at all. It's just very personal. It's a big part of my life. And that's why I welcome these conversations, because it's not, when it comes to mindset, of course that belongs in our, spoiler alert, mind, but there's a lot of other intelligence we can use to help support that too. And a big part of our mindset is what we believe, and what we believe is possible. And I feel like for me, that often comes from outside the logical. It comes from outside data. It comes from a feeling of in that's been curated and cultivated over time, such that it changes the way that I see the world.
Absolutely.
And
I
don't know the attribution for this question, but it's not mine. And every so often I go back on Google and search for it. But there's this wonderful question, which is, the question is not, is it possible? The question is, am I willing to believe this is possible for me? So the question is not, is it possible?
So
the question is, am I willing to believe this is possible for me? And every time I come up against a crunchy, you're not good enough, or you've come too far already, can't you just be grateful for what you have? I then know the work is there to do. Capital W, the work is there to about bridging to a new possibility and allowing myself to be in a place of receiving what that is, participating in what that can be. Too, because mindset, what's so great about our mindset, it's such a lovely broad term, and it can be there to guide us and look after us, like I say, on those darker days when we do feel a bit teary and we don't feel like we've got it together, like I kind of lived all July, but also those times when we have to have a bit of courage, and when we dare to dream, really. We dare to think that there might be more or different and better than what we've had before. Or perhaps more different, better, however we define those things, than anyone that we know has had before. And I think when we have our own businesses, especially, which I know doesn't apply to everyone, no matter what line of work you're in, there is an element of having the courage to dare to go beyond what you know, where you know other people have been before.
It's a really, really bold statement. Yeah. I think that also it's hard for you to take that in, isn't it? Like, even I'm listening to you, this always happens when me and Lucy talk. Yeah. I just get so like with your words, I'm like, I've got to really concentrate on hosting your podcast.
Amazing.
But it's hard for you to take that on as like yourself. Like, for other people, I don't know. I mean, I know you're definitely like this as well. You would say all of these things to other people and you see all their successes. But sometimes even now we reflect on ourselves, it's super difficult to see how far you've come.
Oh, it is. Oh, it really, really is. And that's why I think it's so important to build in those reflections. So instead of being kind of on the more and next, it's making sure we do mark the milestones. Something that I'm sure we all see a lot on social media is, like a few years ago, you've been so grateful for what you have today. And it's easy for that to be seen and scrolled past as a platitude, but actually it really is true for most of us. Perhaps if you've grown through a period of great pain, you'll look at it in a different way, as in you might be in a place where you're just feeling a bit more stable. It doesn't have to be about what you have and what you own or even what you've done. For many of us, the majority of us, it is a case of, if you were to go back to that person a few years ago and say, look, I've got you, or this is on its way, like, we wouldn't believe it. We just wouldn't. And that's where mindset comes in as well. It's not just in the doing, because a lot of us are smart enough to know what to do. And even if we don't know, we know who to ask the question to, or we can find out the right question to ask, or we can look at how we get resources together in all sorts of different ways. We know what to do. It's having the belief in place that gives us confidence actually to go and do it. And that's not always immediate. Like, I am not a punch the air, 3-second rule kind of person. If that's you, totally cool. It's just not me. It just isn't. Perhaps this is down to my human design as well, which I recently kind of discovered in the last year or so, but I know when it's time for me to get a wiggle on, and I know when it's time for me to wait and regroup. And it's been in ignoring that, I've kind of burnt myself out, which has really not helped with mindset. That's really damaged my mindset as well. But now I know how I work best, and now I know what I need. I can work with that and always be playing to my strengths. So I know now, if I'm in a period of things being a bit quiet and chilled, I've chosen that as restoration time, and never ever get guilty about lack of productivity or that I should be doing something, because I know soon something in my energy will go and I'll have whiplash if I'm not careful. Like, I won't have a choice. I feel so pulled from my solar plexus forward. That's been, that I've had to come to know to trust that, because if I'd just been onto the next thing, etc. I maybe wouldn't have been present with that, and I would have been in autopilot, which I never ever want to be. So even Kirsty, obviously I've chatted to you about like certain goals I have and reaching certain thresholds, but when it got to July and I was way off my target for where I wanted to be, like around some goals of mine for this year, rather than think, how am I going to force through on all the other things I'm going to do to make the goals happen, it was like, what can I take off? What can I take away?
Yeah.
How am I going? Yeah. There's that great expression, isn't it? And again, I don't know the attribution, but what got you here won't get you there. How can I actually understand what this is going to take if I'm too busy doing other things that I just wrote down in a spreadsheet? Like, I am in charge of the spreadsheet. The spreadsheet is not in charge of me.
Oh my goodness. It's so good to have that reflection though, like halfway through the year as well, and not to put that guilt on yourself.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's it in terms of taking ownership. Like, I talk in my courses I've used this word a lot, which is autonomy. And being able to cultivate our own sense of autonomy, that is where decisions come from us for our own reasons, where we have full ownership of who we are as a person, the time we spend, who we spend it with, what we're interested in, how we make choices. Like, having that autonomy is really, really important. And yet in the world we live in, which is pressurizing us to be a certain way and do things by a certain time, if we're not careful, we'll lose our autonomy. And yet we must do everything we can to protect it, because it's there we can then make our own genuine actions or genuine next steps there towards whatever we want. And that helps mindset too. If I think about, there are lots of different examples, but let me use a professional one. Before I started doing online courses or having my membership, I watched a number of really good mates go ahead and do those things. And I must say, you know, I take no pride in saying it was a bit clunky at times because I was like, I'm feeling a bit jealous. Why aren't I doing that? And, it, you know, yeah. their success felt like it was a reflection of where my downfall was or where my failures were, which was my stuff, my judgment of myself, absolutely nothing to do with their success at all. But it's a case of when I look back now, well, could I have done it any differently? No, I could not. Mm-hmm. That is a full answer. Mm-hmm. So again, having that autonomy with ourselves, which helps with comparison too, because one of the big themes of what I, you know, intend to teach and share with people is, but do you want that? Do you want that? And what, but what, how would you go after that? Like, always come back to ourselves and our own decisions and our own motivations.
It's really, really powerful. And I think as well, like, it's so humble of you to say that you have that emotion come up.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I see you as like, I mean, obviously we're all human, aren't we? But I was saying to you before, I'm like, she's just always like chill. She's always just like on her stories. Like, I'm really making an effort to like speak more again and do all these things on my stories because you just want people to get to know you. We're like yeah. chatty northerners, aren't we?
Yeah. So I'm
like, that's why I brought out a podcast. So, you know, but all of those moments, but to recognize that as well, like I've definitely felt triggered by certain people yeah. and it's all your stuff. It's not them because I'm super proud of everyone, but
oh,
it's
yeah.
just.
And I think when yeah. those things when those moments happen, and they still happen to me, but I'd say is they're more intense. They don't last as long and they're more spread out now because there's always
yes.
that work to do because, as I say, comparison can come up in different ways, whether it's comparing to other people, comparing to a perfect version you have of yourself or comparing to a past self. There's all, it's a natural, inbuilt, programmed part of the human disposition. So every so often I will have a flare up. I let myself have the emotion. Sometimes I'll even have a bit of a rant into the like fresh air when I'm out with the dogs in the garden or walking the dog or I'll write down thing, you know, I'll write down how I'm feeling in like a letter I'll never ever send. And then when I've expressed that and I've allowed the adrenaline to just run through my body rather than try and squash it and try and bypass it, let myself feel it in all the ways I need to. And then I ask myself with a hand to heart, what's really going on here? And that can be as confronting as it is comforting. So it might be like, I am so viscerally reminded of how much I want that. And it's really getting on my tits that I feel like it's a million miles away. Urgh, like, why is everyone chosen over me? It's like, oh, chosen over you. That's interesting. Where does that come from? Oh, well, that comes from.
Yeah.
And just be able to have the compassion to work through what's coming up. And sometimes we're able to do that with ourselves, for ourselves, just in our own time. And sometimes, which isn't unusual for certainly when I'm kind of helping clients get the best support they need, sometimes we do need to seek out a therapeutic intervention. We do need
yeah,
some specific help and support with something which stems
yeah.
from childhood or stems from an event which is influencing how we're being in our lives. And that is, you know, we will each have those own our own unique path to follow there. Excuse me. But whenever those flare-ups happen, so many people say to me, like, every, you know, whether it's talks or works, whatever it is, how do I stop it? Well, I wish I could say, well, you know, if you just go behind your earlobe, there's this switch.
Yeah, yeah,
you just switch
yeah.
it. Off you go, babe. You know, but it is, I think we have to have so much compassion with ourselves because if it was as quick as I do it, then I don't do it. Like, well, first, none of us would be here. No one likes to do it because we're not talking about comparison in that positive sense where we compare in a positive way as like, oh, I could get there too, or I'm so inspired by that person. We're talking about the way that the majority of us experience it. And we must have compassion with ourselves. Comparison, no matter how we describe our habit or no matter how it affects each of us individually, and it is so individual, even though some of the themes are commonly shared, but it's very much a case of understanding how it shows up for us and how in that moment that we can have compassion with ourselves and recognize this has been a layered process over time that it's not like taking off a coat and just hanging it up. I don't want to wear this anymore. There's elements of unpicking and unfurling that have to happen, but you don't have to, it doesn't have to take years. It doesn't have to be very, very painful. You know, the way I talk to like people in the club is we all just want to get to neutral. I would love it if people found that they not only didn't compare, but they really loved and supported equally enthusiastically every single person that was doing every single thing they wanted to do, where you really want to get to. It's just not really giving a shit. You just want to get to not really caring. And not because there's any malice there or ill will. It's just, it doesn't affect me. I don't notice. It makes no impact on me. I'm completely neutral around it. I don't mind. That is such a place of power. And that is really where the transformation can really, really, really come in. Getting to neutral is one of the first, big milestones that will tell us, oh, hold on, I've got the tools in my backpack and I'm using them.
I think that's really powerful as well, because it's almost like if you try to swing from one side of the pendulum to the other, you're just going to keep bouncing back, right? But to find yourself in the middle, in that neutral space, that's the control, isn't it?
That's exactly it. And doing everything we can to come back to that neutral space, because space is the word. It puts the world back at arm's length for us. It means that our social media feeds become fun places to be. It means that we don't have to be overly sensitive when we're in a gang of friends and they're talking about that person, or, excuse me, even the person you're comparing to is there. We can just hear what they have to say and not feel like we have to brace ourselves.
Feel a disattachment to it almost. I think it's so powerful. Oh my God, Lucy, there's so many things I could literally chat to you all day. One thing I'd love to know, just before we kind of end, is you do so much, okay? And I always see you as this just super productive woman. This, you know, you create the most amazing things, but you create them from the heart as well. You know, you can tell they're authentic. It's not just like a marketing thing that's kind of like been pumped out. Let's see what works. What advice or would you give to somebody who's maybe a new coach or is coming into that space and kind of sees you as like, you know, one day I want to get to like Lucy's level? Do you have like a specific way of working or just anything that you could share with everybody?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'd say, you don't have to have a really, really specific, tight niche like I might perceive to have. What's really important is to own and be seen to specialise and be passionate about and credible in, I would say, 2 to 3 things. So if it's well-being, is it X, Y and Z, or is it, you know, imposter syndrome, positive thinking, trauma recovery, etc. I think in marketing there's a lot out there around like you have to choose one lane, it has to be really tight. I think when you are in an emotive purchase industry such as those of us that are in wellbeing are, you can sometimes do, you know, put blocks in place there as opposed to kind of smooth the way. So spend at least year 1 to 2, like as in like 2 years, arriving at what is going to be your specialism and what you want to be known for, where you really want to build excellence, really. So one of my company values is excellence. So is it excellent? That doesn't mean perfect. You know, I've put Facebook ads out that have been misspelling because I didn't misspell because I didn't see them, or, you know, I have thought something was happening here, it was happening there. So it's not about perfection. It's allow yourself to be really human, but hold yourself to excellence in what you do, and allow yourself to experiment and find yourself in that way in the first couple of years or so. I then as well suggest that when it comes to what you do start bringing out, is that rather than have to be like so innovative and surprising all the time, deliver things that you love, that you know really, really work, and that you can enjoy to do again and again and again. So when I think about the Good Grow, which is it's basically a social media confidence course, but will happen to kind of like help you grow on socials as well. When I think about that, I call it my autumn hero, because I'm like, oh, my hero, I just love doing it every autumn. And I'll be doing it, you know, for the, well, third time, probably, but fourth time this year, and I'm so excited to do it. And I also know that September, October time, like I don't say, you know, even let's say someone wants to book me for a talk and they email me in March, they're like, it's in September, got loads of time. I'm like, oh no, I do the Good Grow in September.
Yeah.
And it's like knowing it comes. And a term that you and I have discussed before, Kirst, is elegant quarters. So as the business progresses, I know now, having had somewhat of a portfolio, and I still want to do one-to-one work as well too, that once a quarter I will have a course or a program that I'm able to really pour myself into. So around May, June time, I put out my business course, which is called Inevitable. And then I spend the summer dedicating my time to serving those guests and my private clients as well. When autumn comes around, it's time for the next thing. But I don't have loads of different things on at loads of different times.
And
I think it's making sure it kind of like works around you, which is why. So I only started my membership this year, but I just love how every month I know I get to connect with people and bring them my most up-to-date things. But it's been a real process. Like, if I didn't feel like I wanted to do a membership, I wouldn't have done one. And I think it. Like in the wellbeing industry, there is a bit of a playbook about first you do this, then you do this, then you do that. And that can be like a great ladder to be climbing up, or, you know, piece of the jigsaw to put together, you know, choose whatever analogy works for you. But it's about really deciding how you want to spend your time. So I, like I say, my business has been going about 8 years. I still do one-to-one work. A lot of my friends have started out that, like, I even qualified with. We're kind of still good mates. I'm still good mates with a few people from that kind of that class. At least half of them aren't doing one-to-one work anymore, but I will always do it, because I think it's sensible for the business, but also it keeps me sharp. There's like, get those and goosebumps is too much, but I still get that moment before I go on Zoom or before I go into a room to meet someone of, you know, having that moment of composure and really focusing on that person and bringing my very best together. And I think that then is able to resonate and creep into but is able to transfer across the other things that I do as well. So don't think that if you get to a certain level, you've been going a certain amount of time, you have to stop or start doing anything you don't want to do. I also think, just the last bit of advice, I don't want to feel like I'm like giving my 20-point PowerPoint presentation, but you're always further along than you think you are. So be bold and have a bit of courage when it comes to what you put your pricing as or what you choose to bring out next. I waited a lot because I thought, oh, I'll be ready when I get to 5,000 followers. I'm ready when I get here, ready when I get there. But the people that weren't at 5,000 followers were growing their businesses in different ways. They, you know, they didn't have that either. And yet they were still working with what they had and growing that profile and doing a great job. So be careful of the milestones that you set yourself, that they don't hijack your progress.
I think that's an incredible place to end. I think that's amazing. I think that we get so caught up in the numbers, and sometimes I do still now with Instagram. Like, it's an app. Like, I just, you know, and you taught me your course. I must say, I can't recommend Lucy's course enough. I did it last year.
Approach.
Yeah, it's not like a social media course. The approach, it's so much inner work. It's so different. So I look at it completely differently now after that course.
Oh, thanks,
and it's just great. It's like, so for anybody who's thinking about it, I can't recommend it enough. Lucy, what are all the details for the course and where can everybody find find you?
The Good Grow, well, you can find me on the gram at Lucy Sheridan. So that's Sheridan. So if you look in my bio, all the details are there. It will enroll around the week of the 21st of September. And it'll enroll for about a week or so. So if you are listening to this a little bit after that, do bob me an email, because I'm sure I can find you a seat somewhere. But do it once a year in kind of September, October time. And that's where it's kind of it's planned for this time.
Oh my goodness. Amazing. Amazing. I will share all of these details in the show notes as well. Lucy, thank you so much for your time today. What an amazing start to my week.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been really glorious. Thanks, Kirst.
Oh, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
I'm so grateful I get to have people like Lucy Sheridan on this podcast. I've known Lucy for years and she has been a true guide to me. I invest in Lucy as a coach. Sporadically, we have catch-up sessions. I've done her courses. She is truly, truly amazing. So someone to check out, definitely connect with, drop her a DM. She's always there to chat to. But as we come to this part of the podcast, I want you to get really, really comfortable, really cozy. Sorry, I'm just moving on my seat if you can hear all that noise. I want you to put your feet flat down on the floor and I want you to feel that connection to the earth. Begin to notice how that feels. Maybe move the feet slightly, spread the toes, really pad the feet down into the earth. Feel the strength, feel the connection. Drawing a nice inhale all the way up the body. And I want you to imagine that you can feel a real length in the body. Imagine almost like a tiny piece of string pulling the head up. And exhale the breath all the way down the body and gently just softening the body slightly. We don't need to be sat poker straight for a meditation. I want you to begin to shift your breath now into the body, into the diaphragm, breathing in. Breathing out, noticing how this movement in breath feels, noticing how you feel. And just relaxing the body, feel the connection to the earth. You are strong, you are supported in this moment. You are exactly where you are supposed to be. Allowing the busyness of the mind to slowly fade away. Beginning to notice the breath. Feel the breath in the body. Every breath we take is unique. Every thought we have is unique. Every moment in this meditation is totally unique, so I want you to really enjoy each moment. Drawing in the breath, releasing the breath, noticing how you feel. Breathing in. And as the mind begins to clear slightly, we let go of those thoughts we're holding on to. I just want you to take a moment to recognize how strong you are. To recognize how wonderful you are, how unique you are in this moment. There is nobody else in the world like you. You are a gift to the universe. There is nobody else in the world like you. You are a gift to the universe. Bringing both hands onto the heart center. Take a nice deep breath in. And exhale, release. Gently opening your eyes. Really thanking yourself for being in this part of the meditation. For noticing how you feel. For showing up for yourself today and giving yourself this gift. As always, if you have enjoyed this episode, please do share. Make sure you tag us in at Kirsty Rayner or at Mindset and Meet Podcast. Maybe leave a little review. Thank you so much for being here and we will see you again next week.